Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
With the fall semester approaching, colleges and universities across the U.S. are grappling with when and how to reopen in the upcoming school year, as the coronavirus pandemic shows no sign of slowing down. On Monday, some big names like Princeton, Rutgers, and Harvard announced their classes would be largely online this fall, following a similar decision from the University of Southern California last week. Nationwide, it's a patchwork of different approaches. According to the Chronicle of Higher Education, which has been tracking college reopening plans, about 60% of schools reported that they're planning for in-person classes, with 9% opting for online and 24% turning to a hybrid model for a combination of remote and in-person learning. Some schools are still undecided. And for the colleges and universities that are allowing students and staff back on campus, many are trying to figure out how to do it safely. Whether that means social distancing in the classroom, mandatory mask wearing, or increased testing. If you attend or work at a college or university, do you feel safe heading back to campus? How's your institution handling reopening?
My name is Danae. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm a professor at a New Jersey State University. We've been presented with five options they're calling modalities. They range from campus-based face-to-face to fully online, the latter of which I'm using. Lots of faculty and staff don't feel safe about returning to a campus, but students want to have a traditional college experience.
I worked for a major university in South Carolina. I have pretty severe asthma. I was pretty worried about getting sick. My coworkers did not want to wear masks. I wrote to the president of the university. I asked the president of the university to make masks mandatory. President of the university ignored me. I wrote to the governor. Governor ignored me. I said, I'm not coming back to work if my coworkers don't want to wear masks. I don't want to be around people who aren't wearing masks. So I burned all my vacation time and didn't come to work. When my vacation time ran out, I had to quit. 3 weeks later, the government finally stepped in and made masks mandatory.
Thanks for weighing in at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Now here with us is Bianca Quilantan, higher education reporter at Politico, and Anna Curtis, an associate professor of criminology at the State University of New York at Cortland. Anna, Bianca, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
So Bianca, let's start with you. What are some of the more common reopening plans that we're seeing from universities and colleges right now?
You know, I think a source kind of framed it the most proper way. He said that colleges have more than just a plan A, B, and C. So there are maybe a dozen ways that schools are reopening this fall. I think the core three, though, are a hybrid model where some classes will be online, some will be in person. And then there's also that starting the semester early, ending by Thanksgiving. And then some are just staying online. I know some universities have also decided to do completely in person, too.
Anna, what about your college, SUNY Cortland? How has SUNY Cortland been thinking about reopening this fall?
So they're doing more of the hybrid model. So some will be online. They have told faculty to split your classes so that only half meets on one day and then the other half meets on another day. And they're intending to end in-person classes at Thanksgiving.
End in-person classes for the semester or for the year?
I don't think for the year. No one is talking about the spring. The last 2 weeks of the semester, everyone will be online, basically finals week. More or less on the assumption a lot of our students are local and they're going to go home for Thanksgiving. And rather than have them all come back, they're just sending them home and having them stay put.
And is there a plan for the spring yet? Or is it assumed that it would look a lot like the fall, or they haven't even decided yet?
I don't think anyone has decided yet. I would assume that if the fall goes well, we would do it again in the spring. What's going to happen between now and then? Like, who knows?
Totally. Right, exactly. Yeah. Bianca, for those schools that are reopening their campuses, what's their motivation?
I think there are three key motivations. First off, they want students back on campus. I think everyone wants that, but they're still trying to figure out how to do it safely. And then second, mm-hmm. there's revenue losses that they're planning. I think earlier on in the pandemic, some universities were expecting over $1 billion when it comes to their revenue shortfalls. And then they're also seeing budget cuts from state entities. So I think those are the three main motivations, but I guess we'll see how it goes.
So you're saying that they have to bring students back because otherwise they can't charge the same amount of money? Is that what you mean in terms of the the financial motivation?
So actually, there's more than just tuition that goes into a college's revenue. You know, there's living in dorms. There is spending money on campus at the bookstore or going to dine in the university. So there's different things in like football seasons. Like those are all revenue generators.
So Bianca, what kind of safety measures are being put in place for those colleges that are opening their campuses?
Safety measures are really ranging across the country. Some schools are requiring masks on campus. Some universities that weren't going to require masks, like the University of Georgia, actually just announced this week that they are going to require students to wear masks. But this comes after intense pushback from faculty. And then some others, like Purdue University, they bought a mile's worth of plexiglass to protect their professors. So wow. There's a range, yeah.
And will there be testing and contact tracing at colleges as well, Bianca?
You know, contact tracing is probably the most important thing, especially for campus communities. But the CDC actually recommended last week that they don't test every single student. They don't think that is the way to approach it. Some of the larger research universities might be able to have the most ability to do contact tracing, and even some of the small universities. But literally, I think what we need to look at are the resources that each university have, because those resources are going to be what they need in order to implement things like contact tracing.
Anna, you're in the thick of this as a professor at a college. How are you personally feeling about resuming in-person classes?
I mean, I'm pretty nervous on a couple of levels, right? One, I don't really want to be in an enclosed space with a bunch of other people. 18 to 22, I remember that age range. I didn't always make the best decisions. And I think some of our students are going to have a hard time taking this seriously and what it might mean in terms of the exposure to other people. I'm also worried about how we're going to make, like, how I personally am going to meet my childcare responsibilities. You know, my son is in daycare and they're going to be pretty firm about demonstrating illness, which I think they should be. But then, right, like, am I using 6 days? Am I using FMLA? Like, what's the experience going to be like for my students if I'm sort of bouncing in and out of the classroom? It feels like a lot of balls to keep up in the air.
Yeah. And then if you're in the classroom, do the classrooms in your school allow for social distancing? Is that possible when you're in there?
I think we can be 6 feet apart from each other if I only have some of my students, right? If I've got a 35-person class that meets on 2 days and half of them come on Tuesday and half of them come on Thursday, we can probably be 6 feet apart. I'm not sure that's enough indoors. I don't think anybody's sure. And my university is saying that students need to wear masks. I haven't seen anything about what happens if they don't. Am I going to be having some conflict with a maskless student in the middle of my enclosed indoor classroom? That sounds stressful for everybody.
Yeah, so much to think about and worry about. What are you hearing, Anna, from students and non-faculty staff and other faculty, too, about the reopening plans? Are you hearing similar concerns?
So certainly from other faculty and staff who I interact with the most in the summertime, I'm hearing less from students just because of the distance. Many of my students are focused on earning money and keeping their families afloat. That's certainly the main concern I heard in the spring as we were sort of dealing with this outbreak. I've heard of a couple of students contacting their professors being like, hey, I have a kid. Like, can I just do this online? Like, will you work with me? That's the thing I've heard the most. The staff and other faculty are also worried, at least the ones I have talked to, and feeling concerned about how we're going to really successfully put these security practices or safety practices into reality. You know, I think our administration is trying to figure it out. They want to bring the students back. They're worried about the finances. I don't want people to get fired, but I also don't really want to have a COVID outbreak in Cortland. It sounds...
Of course.
Potentially avoidable.
Yeah, you're worried about the wider community being affected by this beyond the college, I guess, right?
Definitely. We're a small rural town. Like, we do actually have a hospital in Cortland, but it doesn't have anywhere near the capacity to deal with a real outbreak. And thus far, we've had 54 cases. I'm just not sure our infrastructure is ready for this.
Bianca, are we seeing colleges rethink tuition? What is going to happen with tuition here in light of these various models for reopening?
Princeton University announced on Monday that it will cut 10% of tuition in the coming year, but a lot of universities are staying firm in their tuition. Early on in the pandemic, we saw a lot of class action lawsuits, but I spoke to a lawyer who represents universities, and he said that he believes institutions have a strong defense to all of those claims, but he can see a practical appeal of room and board claims or student fee claims because they're not delivering on their contract. So when it comes to tuition claims, I think, you know, lawyers who are representing universities say that it's going to be really hard to prove student damages, because it comes down to how do you quantify the difference between an in-person class and an online class? How do you put a specific dollar value on that? From a breach of contract standpoint, the basic agreement is I pay tuition and I satisfy my academic obligations and you give me credits. And that's still going to happen this fall.
I assume for those who are returning to campus this year, no keggers, party life, cultural life, that kind of cultural life on campus is done for the year?
You know, I think it's fair to say that students will experience a very limited college life. Can college students follow the rules? And, you know, if you look on Twitter, everyone's like, yeah, right. I don't know if we can expect students not to be college students.
Mm-hmm. Bianca Kilantan is a higher education reporter at Politico, and Anna Curtis is associate professor of criminology at the State University of New York in Cortland. Anna, Bianca, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
My name is Beth, and I'm from Fall River, Massachusetts. I work at a community college nearby me in Fall River, Massachusetts, a working class city. We are going to be mostly remote in the fall, but there will be some hybrid classes, especially to service students taking classes with labs associated with them, but most of the options are going to be online. I work with students with disabilities, and we've been quite impacted. Even though I can work remotely, a lot of students with disabilities don't have the technology in their homes to access content fairly, and that's created some new issues.
Hi, I'm Ryan from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm a professor at a small liberal arts college, and I fear that our university leadership is in denial about the coming semester. I'm concerned that the very real financial concerns are completely driving the decision-making, and that the student and especially faculty and staff health and wellness are not a priority.
This is Lisa from Rainham, Massachusetts. I'm a faculty member who is a full-time faculty at a community college in Massachusetts, and I am really pleased with the leadership role that our president has taken in this issue in COVID. He has gone with making the college entirely remote and online with a few very limited exceptions. And I think that is the smart thing to do for the fall.
My name is Jennifer, and I am calling from Texas, where I'm a professor. And we literally get conflicting emails several times a day about what to expect for the fall semester. I do know it will be my job to enforce social distancing and mask wearing. I can't even get them to quit buying research papers and prepare for their exams, so I'm not sure I can actually enforce anything.